Well, we want to look into some of the Word of the Lord this morning and want to ask you to pray as we look into the Word. I want to go over to the book of Mark. And it's going to be the last chapter, the book of Mark. Y'all ever heard of the Great Commission? It's not said just like that in the scripture, the Great Commission, but have you heard that term, the Great Commission? So this is where it's found. Very concisely spoken anyway. We find it more than in this chapter, but it's explicitly spoken in this chapter. What do we know that to be? Fifteenth verse of Mark, 16th chapter. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's quite a commission, isn't it? I would like to also think of this. It wasn't just a lot of times we talk about a command, and sometimes if we're commanded to do something, we feel a little oppressed by the commandment. Like, I wish I didn't have to do that today. I just, one of those things, I just kind of, here I wake up again and still I've got to pack my lunchbox and I got to go back to work and I just wish, all I want for that day of retirement. Brother Craig, I think, can tell me how many days he's got until he has retirement coming on. And I know he's looking forward to that. And I understand sometimes the duties we have here in this life, we would like for it to come to the place where it wouldn't be quite as exacting. But this duty that the Lord has for us here is not one of oppression. It's one of joy. There is something that the Lord has commissioned us to do that it is not something that is hard for us to do. We have, I think of what the Lord has equipped us with. He's equipped us with a personal knowledge of what this message is that we bring out. When we preach Christ, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel in to every creature. When it's not something that we have made up or that he has said, okay, you say these words and you keep doing it every day. It's more than something like that. It's something real. We have this treasure in our own earthen vessels. We have something real. And this treasure is not only at work in our lives, but it is meant to be shared, enjoyed, and meant to tell others of how precious and wonderful this is. So, I think of, remember when David, when he was getting ready to go out and face Goliath. And in that process of getting ready to, preparing to go, the King Solomon, King Saul said, "Here, put on at least my armor. You need some protection out there. If you're going to go, at least here, I'm going to risk my armor at least." And David, it seemed like he may have put it on and said, "It doesn't fit. I'm not used to it. But what I am used to is what I know, what the Lord has helped me with in the past. Hitherto hath the Lord brought me to this place. And I know what has worked because the Lord has strengthened me when these opposing forces have come against my flock, these sheep. When those things came and challenged their lives, the Lord brought some strength in me and delivered these foes into my hand. A bear and a lion." I don't think any of us wants to go out there and face a bear or a lion. It would be pretty daunting to us, I believe. We'd want to turn and run. But he didn't. And the Lord delivered both of those into his hands. And he was used to taking a sling and taking a rock and throwing it. I imagine as a young fellow growing up, I know how I was out there on the farm. I would pick up rocks and throw it a lot. That's just what I did. It was one of the things I like throwing and seeing how close I could hit something. That's what I think David did. That also throwing kind of came useful to me after a while, because I had a bobcat one time that wasn't running from me and it actually came toward me, and I was real glad I had a rock in my hand and I killed that bobcat with a rock. So, that's just a side story. But what I'd really like for us to take from that is God would have us to practice this faith. David, he took that sling in his youth. I imagine he threw and he got good with this sling. And when he got ready to go face a giant, not only was he practiced with what he had on hand, he had a great confidence in the Lord because the Lord had brought him through all these other encounters. And now he said, "Is there not a cause?" Oh, I like that in Brother David, in King David, in one who has went before us and showed us the way that the Lord would have us to take. He said, "There's something greater than my personal fears. There's a cause here." And he went down. I like it. He didn't go out empty-handed to face this. I believe he had been, likely would have been searching his heart before the Lord, believing Lord, and the Lord stirred up this desire in him, and he said, "We're going to go out and face this giant." But when he got ready to go, you notice what he did? He didn't go empty-handed. He went and got him 5 smooth stones. The Lord would have us to tarry a little bit by the brook. He would like us to have something in our pouch, something that we have experienced firsthand, personally from the Lord. Something, we have some ammunition now. When we go out and talk to our neighbors and preach this gospel into all the world and to all creatures, we have something to share with them. Not theory, but what I have felt. Now mine eyes see you. I have heard about you with the hearing of my ears. That's what Job was saying. I heard about you. These things I've heard about and recognized in the past, I've had all, but now mine eyes see you. Was that Isaiah that said that? He also had an encounter that he really, Isaiah, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. But the point I want us to have is that we have something personally that we know that we can look at somebody in the eyes and say, "Brother, sister, you might be all twisted up and you feel like the web of sin has enwrapped you in such a condition that you don't know how to get free. I know what you're talking about because the Lord delivered me from there. I know how you feel right now, but I want to tell you there's deliverance." And we can say it not just out of theory, but out of practical experience that the Lord has. I want to tell you, the Lord has a message for everybody out there. Everyone. Don't care how tangled the web of sin may have become in their life, the Lord is able to deliver to the uttermost. I want to start here at the beginning of Mark, the 16th chapter. And we're going to start down through this chapter. The point we want to think about is this commission that the Lord has us for us in this world to go into all the world and preach. And you say, "I'm not a preacher." I would beg to differ. If you're saved today, your commission is the same as everybody else's, to preach the gospel. I know that we say, "Well, this was the apostles, the disciples that Jesus was talking to." But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a message to preach. And that doesn't mean you have to be up behind the pulpit, but wherever we go, we have a message to share. And I don't want anybody to feel like we don't have some of that responsibility as we go through life. Okay, let's look over here in the first of this chapter. And when the Sabbath was passed, this is the scene of when Jesus had been and crucified and had been taken down from off the cross, had been put in the sepulcher, and the Sabbath the next day was they had space of time now between this crucifixion and in the grave. And now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They were coming to the tomb in their mind of a dead man. It was difficult for them to reconcile because they had seen him walk this earth and they had heard him make some very large claims. He claimed to forgive sin, didn't he? He told a man that was laying there sick in front of him, you would have thought the greatest need of this man laying sick in front of him was to be able to get up and act normally. But in Jesus' mind, when he looks at people, he's not only concerned about their physical ailments, he's concerned primarily about the need of their soul. And he looked at that man and he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus said that. What authority did he have to say that? People around was looking at him as nothing more than a good teacher, perhaps a prophet. There was a stir around the things that he was doing. The reason why they brought this man to him is because he had been performing miracles. So there was a lot of this expectation. They knew he was something special, but to be able to forgive sin, why, only God can do that. And Jesus, being the Son of God, said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And it shook especially the leaders, it shook them in their mind. How, this is blasphemy for you to say that. How can you prove that this man can? What authority does he have to forgive sin? How can you prove that his sins are now forgiven? You can say that. So Jesus said, "To prove that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I also say unto you, take up your bed and walk." And the man did so. There's authority right there. But the mind can almost forget the predominant things in the past. And then now this one who did that and had all those claims, those wonderful claims that excited my soul. But now I saw him hung on the cross and die. And they put him in a grave. Did all that I banked on, all the hope that I had in the past, has that all been wiped away with the cross? Perhaps the devil tried to get people thinking so. Oh, but he lost. I can't help but greatly rejoice when I think of what must have happened on this morning that we're approaching now. The Sabbath was passed. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother, James, Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" Three women coming there, big stone. How are we going to get in there? We got these spices. We want to. We love him. Why did they still retain their love and their desire? There's some reason. There were some stones they had carried with them from association, from their time with him. What they had seen, there were some stones they carried away. There were some precious gems that they carried with them. And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted, don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth." I know what you're looking for. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen." Maybe you say, "Brother Ivan, we need to preach this one on Easter Sunday." That's not the only Sunday we need to preach this one. This is something we ought to be reminded of often. Our Lord is risen. Who was Mary Magdalene? I don't know exactly, but this much I do know. It is spoken of her that she was the one out of whom came seven devils. I don't know exactly. I don't think anybody was sitting there counting one, two, three. I don't know, but she was overtaken with the forces of evil. She was wholly. I don't know what all that meant, and I don't know how it may have expressed, but I know evil, when evil begins to overtake people and we give ourselves to it and we don't resist the devil, I know what the devil starts doing in people's lives. It's horrible things. And you look today, folks, I don't want to be harsh about the expressions sometimes, because people don't hardly know what they're doing, but have you seen people with holes all over their face, with things sticking out? What made them do that? It's not natural. It's not natural. There's other, and I'm not saying, don't hate anybody for doing it, okay? Love them because they need help. These are expressions of something not quite right. Sometimes this is the way the devil expresses himself in them. And the Lord wants to deliver those people. So next time we go to Walmart or to Brahms, or I was at, well, y'all know I go to Brahms once in a while. And I saw somebody there that her hair was rolled and matted and about this long. And she, everything about her said, "I need help." To me it said that. Trying some way to. I'm sure if you'd have talked to her, she'd say, "Well, why can't I just express myself? This is who I am." It's not who you were made to be. Mary Magdalene, I don't know what all the expressions were that came on her life, but evil, when it begins to overtake somebody's life, there is ways that things they give themselves to. There's some immoralities. There's some human self-destruction that goes along. Mary Magdalene, we're not told for sure how all that was expressed in her life, but it was clearly a place of distress, deep distress and separation from the Lord. It is also thought, and I can't say this for certain, but it's very possible that Mary Magdalene was the one that wept at his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. There's a grief that goes on in the hearts of people that are given over to these type of forces. And Mary had these deep needs, and the Lord Jesus addressed those needs and turned her free. Seven devils. She was wholly given over to evil. It had consumed her, caused her to act unnaturally, go into evil, do things that weren't right. And the Lord met her in her need. Jesus, this one now, she was coming now to anoint his body, thinking he was indeed dead and no longer, there was no more hope in him. But she still remembered the day. She still remembered the day when she was freed from the old sinful Mary. Folks, it's kind of like that man when they challenged him, who was it that gave you your eyesight? And they said, it was the Lord, it wasn't this Jesus. Don't give God the glory and not this man. And he said, well, I don't know exactly. I can't answer all your questions. And one thing I know, I was blind and now I see. I believe Mary had something like that she could take and tell the world about. And I think she was also a preacher of the gospel. And I think she had something to share when she would talk with other women who perhaps were connected in, perhaps caught in vices or horrible places that she may have been found in. She can look at them and say, oh, dear sister, there's one that lives. She was there this morning. She had felt the deliverance that the Lord had given her, and she had a stone in her pocket. She had something that was real. It was hers. You couldn't take that from Mary. And this morning, she came expecting to put spices on a dead man's body and found out he was indeed the Son of God. Folks, our message is much more impactful when we know who he is personally. I've been alone with him. I know he lives. My Redeemer liveth. And we know that because I've been in contact with him. Mary saw him in human form. I don't know how else to say it. He was a risen Lord. She saw him. And that was something you can't take from these early disciples, these ones that Thomas, who said, I won't believe. And the Lord came and met him in his doubtful mind and all these places that he was struggling with. The Lord came and met him. And it was so real to him and so impactful that it is told that same Thomas, didn't he go to India? Lay down his life? That's quite a ways to travel. From Jerusalem to India. That's a pretty good trip. And he went down there and he told them about his Lord. Why? It was real to him. He had seen him. He'd watched him die. Perhaps struggle with some of the same ideas as this is all the what we had hoped for has come crashing down around us. But this day, he saw him alive. So many reasons why the early church had something real. These disciples, Mary Magdalene, the man, and you know his name, I'll just call him Peter, the man that was scared and he lied. Remember when a maid came up and said, weren't you with him? No, not me. How do you think? That was a horrible place for Peter to be in. That was a tumble. That wasn't where the Lord wanted him to be. Jesus had prayed for him that his faith fail not. Peter was dealing, and three times he said no. What a horrible place that he was in. But he didn't stay there. He repented. Peter can look then at people who struggle with some of these places in their life. And he said, I know how you feel. I was there. But I wept bitterly. I repented and the Lord received me. He can say that to you today. He can say that to us. I believe it's so, dear ones. Wherever we find ourselves in, sometimes we in life, oh young folks, as you pass through life, you're going to have places that maybe life catches you in difficult places and you find yourself, I didn't, I, Maybe you failed. Maybe you lied. Maybe you... Don't throw it all aside and say, I'm never trying again. Come back and say, I'm sorry. Because the Lord doesn't want you to get off there in those seven devils' territory where the devil will do horrible things in your life. Turn, turn, come. And Peter can say, the Lord took me back. The Lord took me back. Thank the Lord for that. This is a gospel that they could bring and teach to others. And because he rose from the grave, maybe if he wouldn't have done that, we could have still had doubts that he was the Son of God. Well, if he wouldn't have rose from the grave, perhaps we'd say, well, maybe he wasn't the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But because he rose, it confirmed everything that he said to be true and right. And he was the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the reason why we can go with confidence from our places. Not only can, but we are inspired to go from our houses into the world around us and look at people with a smile and love them enough to share the Spirit of Christ with them. To share the gospel really. That doesn't mean I need to always be intrusive and say, have you heard about the gospel today? Sometimes it might be something we need to do, but sometimes it's just simply loving that person to the point that their hearts begin to open up. Because sometimes people don't even know how to open up their hearts. Oh, I want to tell you, the love of God begins to swing the rusty hinges open. The love of God when they see Christ in you and I, when we look at them with a deep and a true love in our heart for them, and we share with them what the Lord has done with us. Up there last Tuesday morning with some of the older men that I've met with, I just asked them some biblical questions. What do you think about that verse? And they got to talk. And after a while, one of the men said, you know, he said, we have a men's prayer group at our chapel, and where he goes, and he said, I like this a lot better. Folks, just share the love of Christ. As their hearts begin to warm, as they see the genuineness, not just a theory in your mind, but who God is in your heart. Stop by the brook and pick up your 5 stones. Have something real in your heart that you know He's a risen Savior, that He's your Savior. And then with greater confidence, you can go out there, study also to know the reasons why you believe. I agree with that. But the primary thing we should carry with us is the reality of Christ in our life. So Mary Magdalene and these other Marys, as they watched, it came to the stone, it was rolled away. And they met this, who was this, this young man that they saw? We don't know his name, do we? I don't think we need to know his name. We call it an angel, don't we? This was something that God sent there himself to testify to these people that the one, well, I know who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is risen. He was all clothed in white. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, did it say they rejoiced? They were mourning and weeping, and at their loss, and not wondering what, and wondering how things were going on. And you think that somebody came and said, "He's risen." You think that they would rejoice, but there's something personal about this that the Lord wants. They should have, yes, they should have said, "What are you saying? How do you know?" It's okay to question and understand, but instead, they just seemed like they outright rejected it and said, "No," and it was seen of her. They didn't believe her. They believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, the road to Emmaus. Remember that story? And they went and told it unto the residue, to the others. Neither believed they them. Remember Thomas? "No, I won't believe until I see." Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So Jesus, as Mark was relaying this, he said that the Lord wanted them to believe the story, the report of Mary and the other Marys. He wanted them to believe the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and as they came back. He wants them to believe. And today he wants us to believe, though we have not seen with our eyes. He wants us not to believe, not just to believe for belief's sake, but to experience him in his reality in our life, that we might know of assuredly that he is risen. And he upbraided the disciples for not believing. You remember when, I wonder how Thomas must have felt when Jesus came through. And I don't know exactly how all this happened. In my mind, I think that he may have stepped through that wall. It said the door's being shut. The door. It's almost like they had locked this place up because they were in a fear of the Jews, not knowing what was going to happen. And they were in doubting in their minds, not knowing how to handle where they were. And it said Jesus came. Then came Jesus, the door's being shut, as we had spoken. And he came in where they were. And I wonder how Thomas must have felt then. All this must have come. How did you get in? And I know it's you. And I said I wouldn't believe unless I put my finger and my hand. I. At that moment, Thomas needed nothing more. And he was challenged. He was upbraided. His belief at that moment was real. Now in the 15th verse, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Share this to those around you." Don't hide it. What was it Jesus said? That no man, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, no man lights a candle and hides it. No man does that. Puts a bushel over it. No man does that. No, because the reason why he lit it, that it might give light. The reason why the Lord brought his son, Jesus Christ, here to say and do and perform all that he did, all these miracles that encourages our faith, that gives us reason to believe. The stories that have come down, and they're real. Folks, everyone but John of these apostles suffered martyrdom. They gave their life because they believed this. If they didn't believe it, they would have said, "Oh, hang on, fire's getting a little hot right now. I think I'd say, maybe it's not that important to me. It wasn't theory for them. It was reality. They knew it to be so. I think that it was James as he went down into India. I think he was he flayed alive? Is that, or was he, maybe he was one that was thrust through with spears. I'm just saying all of these disciples, all except John, died a martyr's death, and John suffered quite a bit along the road. But they believed it to the point that this was a gospel that drove them out, not harshly, but compelled them because of what the Lord had done for them. They had something to share. I like one of the questions I was asked by some of the men there at Rome's. I said, what is it? Kind of a large congregation? I said, well, that kind of depends on what Sunday you're talking about. I said, we're a traveling congregation. Got different places and different reasons. I said, we've got some that went recently out to Sacramento, and they're trying to help build up a work out there and work out in that. I said, and I thank God for it. And I told them about Sister Clay and how she goes, and about some of the rest of you and some of the work that you're doing, some going down Spanish mission, all these different works, and people going to Germany and Austria, and all the different works that people do. He said, you must have a real missionary-minded congregation. I said, yes, we're missionary-minded. He said, we had church in the park, and the folks, I'd like to do that again, okay? I'd like to do that some more. But God, in their minds, they said, these are the things that people do when they're missionary-minded. I want to tell you, the early church, they were not just missionaries, but they were, who is it that holds a revival? An evangelist, evangelistic in their mind. It wasn't just going out there and come, but they were evangelizing the world. They had a message, personal message that they knew. And they were wanting people to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jews? Yes. Gentiles of every stripe? Yes. They had a gospel to take with them. So go ye into all the world and preach the gospel in every to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you hear that simplicity of that gospel? I want to tell you, I know that there's a walk with the Lord after this occasion. There's a walk that goes from there. But this is pretty simple. Jesus said, go ye in all the world, teach them. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, this baptism, I believe we probably all agree that it's not the water that saves people. That's not what the baptism is about. But this is a public testimony of what the Lord has done in my heart. And when you're willing to do that, there's a confession that goes along with this. This is a public testimony. I am no longer identifying with that old life. I'm changed. I'm different. I believe what I just heard. I believe on the Son of God. I believe that He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Mary told me that she was delivered of all these influences that had so destroyed her and bound her in the life, I believe that. And I want more of that in my life. I want to be like my Lord. Thomas said, I don't need to put my hand in your... I believe. Paul. He had a lot of ideas, didn't he? He had a lot of very strong-headed, strong-minded ideas, and he was acting upon them, and then the Lord turned those around. On the road to Damascus, he was confronted, and he said, who are you, Lord? And as he began to see and recognize who the Lord Jesus Christ was, it changed him around. I believe scriptures that he had perhaps used to think had his own interpretation of scriptures that he used, the scriptures that he was acquainted with, you know what they were? They were the Old Testament. They were the Septuagint. You know what I'm talking about? The old books. This New Testament was not written then. It wasn't in existence. But the scriptures that he had studied spoke about this day. And he had not applied it to Jesus Christ. But that day, when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, his eyes began, perhaps his physical eyes became dim, but his spiritual eyes, the scales fell off. And he says, oh, that's what Joel meant. I know as Peter on the day of Pentecost prayed that. But I believe there were things that revealed to his mind. Oh, that was it. That's what it meant. He was pointing about this day. And Peter had a gospel that he took from there. Straightway he began to preach Christ. Because it meant something to him. And today we can come with warped ideas. And we can get, if we just lay ourselves honestly down before the Lord, and the Lord can straighten all that out and give us His truth and give us encouragement and enlightenment into following after the Lord with all of our heart. This man, here in the scripture, when Jesus, wasn't a man here, this, well, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. And He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaims it and is baptized, he shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Folks, there's a difference in whether we believe and whether we don't. There is results. That's not the word I'm looking for. But there is consequences. That's the word. There's consequences to whether I believe or not what the Lord has said. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Folks, I want to tell you, the saint of God, the man who is a God-centered heart, he doesn't need to fear any force of the devil. Doesn't need to. God has given us authority over all powers, not only in our own life, but if there is somebody who comes to you and I, when we're clear before the Lord, we're following the Lord with all we know how to, and to please the Lord, I want to tell you, we have a great confidence. If somebody comes all bound by the force of the devil, we have a gospel to share with him. The Lord can deliver you. I believe that Mary Magdalene could look at anybody else that may have been so encompassed with the forces of evil, with the devil, she could look at him and say, I know the Lord can deliver you. And she could pray a very faithful prayer. Lord, have mercy on the cast out the devils out of this one, as you did out of me. And I believe the Lord hear those prayers. Folks, I want to tell you today, these signs follow them that believe. There's a clarity in our soul. There's a reality that we know as we follow Him. There's a confidence that comes in knowing Him. And when the devil comes, when we face him, we don't have to tremble in any way. We don't have to, because there's authority the Lord gives us over all powers of the enemy. These signs follow them that believe. In my name they shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Isn't that what happened on the day of Pentecost? These were tongues that other people heard and understood the wonderful works of the Lord on the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to tell you, it hasn't just all quit there on that day either. There are other. The Lord has done that throughout history, have helped people to speak with new tongues. Again, I want you to understand, I'm talking about something that's unintelligible. I think the scripture is clear on that. The tongues that can be understood. They shall take up serpents. And this isn't talking here either about us having a box of rattlesnakes up here. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about us being able to face detrimental things in our life. Peter did, didn't he? Remember? No, it was Paul, I mean. Paul, in his travels, remember the snake came out and latched upon his hand? You remember that story? Deadly things, shook it off back in the fire, and the Lord used it to testify of his great authority over these things. This is what happens. And those who believe, those who follow, and we shouldn't lightly discard these facts. Say, well, that just happened back then. Folks, I want to tell you, he didn't say these signs shall follow them that believe the first century. Didn't say that. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes, amen.
And the Lord have us today. I'm not saying we're reckless. That's not what he's teaching here, that we tempt God. That's not what he's teaching here at all. But in the course of the life of our life, the Lord wants to protect his children. He covers us. And I want to tell you, sometimes the Lord will allow things to happen. I understand that. But the Lord in his mercy knows how to help us with life, with these places of danger in our life. These signs will follow. They shall take up serpents. They shall drink. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Don't we still believe that? Folks, I do. I believe that. You know why I believe that? Because I've been a recipient of that blessing. It happened to me more than once. But one time it was a dramatic moment. It was a time when I was so very sick, a high fever, and I had pneumonia, and head was hurting horribly. And Brother Stover came down and he anointed my head in obedience to the Lord. And he didn't pray he didn't leap upon the altar. His prayer was just a kind appeal to the Father in heaven. I want to tell you, when the prayer was going forth, there was something began to flow over me. And I don't mean to be dramatic here, but I'm just telling you what happened. There was a warmness flowed over me. And as it went over, the headache went away and the cough began to break up, all that stuff in my life. And that's what the Lord did. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs follow. I've seen it. Sister Brenda has recently been healed. Thank the Lord. These are wonderful times. And folks, these are things we should preserve. These are things that are important to our time right now. We have a gospel to share with the world around us. It's real. Oh, Lord, help us to embrace all his gospel. I know our time's gone. But I want to encourage us to share something real with the world around us. When Jesus looked at those who loved him, those who walked with him, those who were, he was getting ready to ascend back up into heaven, and he said, go ye. He wasn't going to be here in the physical form. In fact, it would have probably been limiting if we all just collected around him in his physical form. But the Lord, when he ascended back on high, what was it? He said, I'll send to you the Comforter, and you're going to do greater things. You're not going to be collected around one special point. Not Jerusalem, no longer Jerusalem, nor in Samaria, but it's a whole world. Go ye into all the world and preach, teach them, and tell them about the Lord and what he does in your life, what he does in Peter's life, what he does in Paul's life, what he does in Mary's life, what he does in my life.
Amen.
Something real. He changed me. Delivered me from the old man that I used to be. Took me from the kingdom of darkness, has translated me over into the kingdom of his dear son. And we can tell that with confidence to people and say, I'd like to pray with you. When you want to pray, I want to be there. You know, sometimes when the warmth of what God has presented to us and the love that the Lord inspires in our heart, and we kindly look at our fellow man in their troubles and we share with them the gospel, and the Lord opens those doors. And have you ever watched them as they begin to see possibly hope for them, and they almost, the tears begin to flow? It's touching because they don't know, is there really hope for me? And as it begins, you watch it in their face and you say, "Brother, can I pray with you?" And they sometimes can't even answer because they're crying. They just nod their head and bow their head, and you pray with them. There's nothing better than that, dear ones. I don't know. There's a lot of things really good that the Lord gives us, but that's a special moment when we can touch people with the love of Christ and find their door open. The Lord hasn't commanded this to us in a way that is meant to be oppressive, but He wants us to willingly share what He's done for us. So when He says, "Go ye into all the world," it's not an oppressive commandment, but He says, this inspiration that you feel burning within your bosom, don't put a bushel over that light. Let it shine. Isn't that the word that Jesus said? Let your light so shine. I fear that if we compel our light to shine, maybe we have a false light. But when there's something flowing up within me that I want to share, because what God has done in me, then it's genuine. And that, just let your light shine. I'm not going to argue with you if you have a regimen where you're going to go out and say, "I'm going to talk to 5 people today about the Lord." Okay. But don't become carnal in your decisions. Let the Lord free flow in your life. And as we do that and genuinely love our fellow man, I think we're going to be sharing some of the gospel. Pray for me. I want to serve you. And we serve a risen Savior.